Before we get started, Judy, what was your name again? Judy has reminded me that she has the camera ready. If anyone wants to take a photo or needs a photo, this is an opportunity. I know for most of you, surprise photos are not usually the way you work. You have to be all looking all good. But if you're one of those bold persons who has great self-esteem and you don't care how you look, go for it. Or maybe you look great already. We're getting down near the end of our study of discipleship. It's been going on now for about 6 weeks. And we have one more lesson, I believe, after this. We'll finish that off at the end of the month. We want to, this evening, talk about a concept that's very important, particularly for all of us who are beginning to get on in years. And everybody is, just some of us are more on than others. But we have to try to think about discipleship as not something I did when I was younger, or I can recall the days when I was really working hard and I had a lot of people around me who wanted to work with me. We can't look at it that way. We have to look at it as something that's present. As long as we have our ability to cognitively think, consider things that are what God wants us to be, we have a responsibility with whatever abilities we have to try to fulfill to the best of our ability these principles. This is the test that we took, and I put that in quotes, but I offered to you the idea of how can I test whether I'm a disciple or not. And of course, there would be a lot of different ways that I suppose one could go about it. But here were the questions that we looked at. And that is, firstly, am I following Jesus? And that's based on what we have used more or less as our text in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Let me just read that to you. I'm not going to belabor these because, of course, there were two lessons that were used to cover all these things. We don't have that much time to look at them. But I want to remind you of this passage because I think it's very, very essential in the whole idea, the big picture concept of what it meant to be a disciple. He summoned a crowd with his disciples and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save. Goes on down to verse 38 to say, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation will also, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him. So, we are understanding that however we go about trying to put together the ideas in Scripture about what it means to follow Jesus, I mean, it certainly means the denial of self. I think you can see that from this passage. I look at his life as now being my life. I look at this life as one that I have to set it aside, my desires that supersede what Jesus says. And I have to make the decision that I'm going to follow him. We put some emphasis on the whole idea of Jesus was holy and so we should determine to be holy. But we have to make up our mind we want to follow Christ if we're going to be a disciple. It must be something that we can convey to others. That we're not exactly ashamed of the idea of telling people I am a disciple of Christ instead of saying, well, I'm a churchgoer or I'm a Christian or I'm a member of the church. All of these sayings are true, but sometimes they lose a bit of their descriptive ability because they get sort of worn out in the way we use them. So you can go ahead and use those terms to identify yourself, but begin to think about who you are and what you're actually trying to depict. Then we talked about the whole idea that we must be working spiritually in the lives of others. And I tried to make the distinction. It's not a matter of just getting to know people and socializing with people. It's wanting to have a relationship that really relates to the things that we call spiritual things, the things that come from the Word of God. Some of us are really good at conversation. And so we can talk about just about anything with people. But we're talking about seeing opportunities to serve the Lord by helping other people and getting involved with the lives of people as they're trying to serve God. And I pointed out that if we are growing as disciples, then of course, the obvious thing is we want to get involved with people in that regard. So we know that there are a lot of things that you may have in common with someone. You may talk about a particular sport or particular craft or whatever it is that you have in terms of sharing interest. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the closeness that comes from spiritual concern. And that takes a little bit of self-deprecating and a willingness to put myself out there and be vulnerable. And then, of course, maybe more significant than just about anything, and that is, have I made up my mind to sin or to not sin? And, of course, we pointed out that, yes, we all know that we are going to sin. But have I made up my mind that I'm not giving in to it? Remember, we spent some time in Romans, the 6th chapter, where we start out as people who are disciples of Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized into Christ, into his death, burial, and resurrection. Then what happens after that? And of course, Paul's point with the idea that some people are out there saying that if I'm saved by grace, then it's okay for me to just go ahead and sin. That way I get more grace. And to Paul, this was probably not just silly. It probably made him angry that people were saying this. So he says, look, we are no longer slaves to sin. We have had our sins forgiven. Therefore, let's live like we hate it. And so we felt that, at least I felt in the way I was looking at this, that that was something that was very important. Have you made up your mind? Have I made up my mind to not sin? I'm really determined to not sin. I've not just given in to the idea because I have certain weaknesses and things like that. Well, all that being true, how long is this supposed to go on? In Revelation, the 14th chapter and verse 13, there's a statement made there that you'll hear oftentimes in funerals. And that is, the statement that is made is the one that talks about how great it is to die in the Lord. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. So we put great emphasis, I think, in trying to say it's a great thing that people, when they do die, that they're actually in the Lord, that they're a disciple. But the important point, oftentimes,